As a true father, I expect my son to be all I meant to be. This is Thought for Today. Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California. As a true father, I expect my son to be all I meant to be. Now, this might mean that we are forcing our kids to follow through on the dreams that we never fulfilled. The dreams that we've had of being a doctor, a lawyer, a merchant, a thief, or something like that. And we want our children to follow through on our dreams. And this is not really what that means. This means that as a true father, I expect my son to be all I meant to be. And what I meant to be was to be all that I'm capable of being, to be my finest, my highest, and my best. That's what I meant to be. I meant to be it, and perhaps I am it too, but that's what I meant to be. When I worked with my son, Mark, he was difficult to work with, like most children are. He had ideas of what he'd like to do. Or more likely, he did not have ideas of what he'd like to do. He was just sort of dawdling around. He just sort of wasted his time from the time he was born until the time he was about 10 or 12. And I couldn't figure out what he wanted to do, what he wanted to be. Well, now, really, that's pushing him. He should have had the time to think of it for himself, but he did. But I amused him with everything that I could to encourage him in many areas. And he was interested in them, but not enough to do anything about it. Then came the time for his interest, and he became interested in flying. And he said, "Dad, I want to be a pilot." And I said, "Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful." And so he learned how to be a pilot. Now, my intention was that he be the best pilot he's capable of being. And so we went to school, the both of us, learning how to be a pilot. He knew the rules long before I figured them out. He was interested. It was his dream. It was his desire. I didn't have to inspire him to study, to learn. He just knew it all already. And he taught me. But he's just a brilliant boy in flying. And so he got his license early when he was 13. And for a couple of years, he just flew his ultralight, that came later. He flew his airplane that we bought and enjoyed himself very thoroughly. Now, when he got his license at 16, he was able to fly somebody else. And so he flew his friends around and had them pay for the gas, which was a great way to do. But I couldn't expect him to be a fabulous pilot because I had never been a fabulous pilot. I had flown, but I was not a fabulous pilot. I couldn't expect him to be 1,001 other things that he had the capacity to be. But he chose what he wanted to be. My desire for him was that he was the finest and the best that he was able to be. When he graduated from high school, I said, "Now, what do you want to do? Do you want us to send you down to Florida to the aircraft maintenance and special training school to become an excellent pilot down there, improve your skills and get your instrument ratings and learn all about engines and learn how to maintain your own engines?" "No, no." I said, "Well, we'll buy you all the books you want if you'll read them thoroughly." He said, "Yeah, I want the books." So we bought the books for him. And he read them thoroughly, and I checked him on it. I didn't know anything about it, but I could open a book and look at a page and ask him questions, you know, right from the book. And he knew the answers. Because this was his life. This was his choice to be the best in whatever he chose to be. And he has proven that true now with his being an inventor of ultralight airplanes and engines and other things that has put him into quite a remarkable position with the federal government and other organizations who believe that he is a very top-notch being. Now, a loving father, a true father, says that he wants his son to be all that he meant to be. Now, what did the true father, the loving father, want to be? He wanted to be the best of anything that he could. Whatever he chose as his calling, He wanted to be the best. Now, many fathers accept mediocrity. They accept not rising to the top of their field in whatever field they chose. They chose to be a banker, but they were just an ordinary banker. They chose to be a salesman, but they're an ordinary salesman. They chose to be to own their own company, but they just ran it as an ordinary company. My dad was one of those. He had an eighth grade education, and he and his brother operated Byerly Brothers masonry contracting business in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And as he did this, the company grew and grew and grew because of his integrity and because of his skill. The skill he and his brother had were exquisite, and they stood behind everything they did very well, and they rose to the top. Well, he had the chance to make the step from the AAA Dun & Bradstreet rating that he had, which was quite good at that time, into a higher rating, which meant that he would be doing a great deal more business and a great deal higher level. And instead of just doing hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of work, he would now be doing millions of dollars worth of work. And he didn't choose to do that. He said, I don't feel comfortable with that. I feel comfortable doing what I'm doing and being very successful at it, making a lot of money, being very happy. If I take the next step, I don't feel I've prepared myself for it. Although the next step was just like the step before. But from his point of view, dealing with millions was beyond his scope. From your point of view and my point of view, dealing with billions is beyond our scope. We can deal with hundreds of thousands and even millions, because a $1 million house is not unusual these days. But to deal with billions, that's tough. Our minds say, oh my God, I can buy $100,000 million houses, what have you. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? That means that we, as parents, we as human beings, we as guides, role models for ourselves and our friends and the young people of this world, must not limit ourselves by anything. If you can make a penny grow, you can make a dollar grow, you can make $100 grow, you can make $1,000 grow, you can make $1 million grow. It's like the parable that Jesus told of the householder who was going on a journey. And so he left his three top people in charge. And to one person he gave $1. To another person he gave $100. And to another person he gave $1,000. And he said, make it grow. They called them talents because that was the term for their money in those days. And so the one with $1 did not do anything with it. He was afraid to lose it. So he buried it. The one with $100 went out and made it grow a little bit, but not taking too many chances. And the one with $1,000, he went out and he invested it in every wonderful idea that he could possibly conceive of. And he invested some here and some there, He didn't throw it all in one basket. And when the boss came back, when the householder came back, he said, okay, what have you done? And so the servant who had the $1 produced the dollar and said, here's the dollar you gave me. And the householder said, very good. And then the one with the $100, he said, sir, here is your $100, and I have made it grow, and it's now $500. And the householder said, not bad, not bad at all. But the one with $1,000, he said, sir, I have taken your money and I have invested it in many, many areas. And here are the investments. You may cancel them if you want and get your money back, or leave them. But your $1,000 is now worth $100,000. And the householder said, wow, beautiful, beautiful. And so he took away the dollar from the servant who was afraid to invest because he was afraid the householder might be unhappy with him if he lost it. and to the others he gave greater responsibility. You see, it's not a matter of what we do or how we do it. It's a matter of, do we believe in ourselves? Do we believe in ourselves? Can you allow yourself to make mistakes? Can you allow yourself to make wrong judgments and still stand behind yourself and know that you're doing the right thing? When you can do that, then you can train a child to be all that you wanted to be. If you don't, I don't want to say make mistakes, but if you don't go out and take a risk, that's the word perhaps, you'll never realize how good you are. You'll never realize what excellent judgment you have. You'll never realize. So this is what a true father teaches his child. He teaches his child to go out and take risks. Calculated risks, careful risks, but risks. Because if you are too conservative, you will live okay. But if you take a risk, you might lose it all, but you might build it into something rather remarkable. And this is what each of us want to do. We want to build our life into something remarkable. And the only way we can build our life into something remarkable is by giving our very best to it. And we give our very best to it when we are all that we meant to be. Now, if you mean to be nothing, if you mean to be average or less than average, that's fine. You achieve it. But if you mean to be your very best, you have no idea what that is. And you keep moving toward it. Not because you want to be superior, not because you want to be wealthy, not because you want to, but because you want to give your very best to whatever you're doing. And to give your very best to whatever you're doing means that you will get great rewards. Sometimes you lose, but then you just start over again. I told you of my friend in the concrete business in Newport Beach. He was a multimillionaire back in the 70s or 60s, 70s, yeah, 60s, and a very excellent man. And I had his Viking sloop that I sailed in the bay for years. He went broke. He went bankrupt. He lived in a glorious house, had beautiful Cadillacs and everything. So he had to start over again. So he rented a house down the street where he lived. Same type of house, almost exactly the same house. He lost his house because everything went, you know. And so he started out with a new car. But his car was a new T-Bird. It wasn't a Cadillac. And a T-Bird is quite nice too. But he did not lower his sights. And within 6 months, he had his earlier house back. He had his Cadillacs. He had his luxury. He had his business, what I probably should have said first, but he had his business back in high gear. Because the misstep or mistake that he took that lost his business was a mistake of judgment, and he had all his other judgments very good, but that one judgment. So then he just corrected that mistake of judgment, and people believed in him, and they invested in him, and droop, up he was right at the top again. And to this day, he is a very successful, competent man. Now, a true father, as a true father, I expect my son to be all that I meant to be. And what I meant to be is my very best, my finest and my best. And as one father, I can say to you, I am very proud of my son and the successes that he has made and the wonderful things that he has done. And perhaps what I taught him rubbed off a little bit to be the very best that he can. I love you, I love you, I love you.